Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we have to not only defend the right to life, but show someone who may firmly believe in abortion how very wrong their arguments are. Every year at our National Right to Life Convention, we present a workshop on the five basic arguments for abortion and how to respond to these arguments. All arguments for abortion break down into five different categories. Each day this week, we are looking at one of these five basic pro-abortion arguments and breaking down the pro-life response. If you've missed any episode, or if you want to download them to share with others, you can find the entire week online at prolifeperspective.com. Today, we conclude with a look at responses about the most difficult circumstances. The average pro-lifer may often feel that questions about cases involving rape, incest, and the presence of severe fetal abnormality seem to be almost unanswerable. While we do not deny that these difficult cases arouse powerful emotional responses, there are answers. The following are some helpful hints, the kind that will ease your mind and keep you from backing away when these questions are thrown at you. First of all, it is critical to remember that the vast majority of abortions do not happen as a result of any of these reasons. In fact, according to a study in Family Planning Perspectives published by the Guttmacher Institute, the former research arm of Planned Parenthood, less than 10% of all abortions done in the United States are done for all of these reasons combined. However, this infrequency has never prevented pro-abortion proponents from using these examples when they are trying to block pro-life legislation at the federal or state level. The hard cases are always brought up because they carry so much emotional weight with the general public who don't know the facts about abortion in the United States. Moreover, because many people are quite afraid of how they would respond themselves to any of these circumstances, it is easy for abortion proponents to prey on those anxieties. Our job is to address these fears rationally and factually. Taken separately, there are solid reasons why abortion should not be resorted to in these cases. Taken collectively, this small minority of cases proves the adage that hard cases make bad law. Certain realities need to be restated in any response. Once again, it is vital to remind the audience that the circumstances of the baby's conception change nothing about the baby herself or abortion's inherent brutality. The baby's development is no different. The methods used to end that life remain just as violent. First, the argument in favor of abortion when the baby will have a severe fetal abnormality is arguing to take the life of someone because somehow it would be kinder to kill that child than to let the child live in that condition. We must reject the quality of life argument that says there are different values of human life. By establishing this baseline, you can show them that aborting a child because of possible abnormality is nothing less than blatant and deadly discrimination against people with disabilities. In cases of rape and incest, a woman has been violated. When someone has been through an ordeal of this magnitude, she deserves to be treated with the deepest compassion, enormous support, and special care. Although research in this area is limited, at least two studies done with women who've become pregnant following a rape have clearly shown that women who aborted their children feel twice victimized and angry about the abortion. Women in one study who carried their babies to term, although frightened at first, felt they had done the more positive thing by giving their children life. They felt they had turned something awful into something good. While hard cases can make bad law, they can also offer the greatest challenge to create the kind of life-affirming society we want to live in. As always, we provide resource links at prolifeperspective.com. And if you have any questions, please email me at carol@prolifeperspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.